Halifax Radio's update with Lewis Foster.
Fast Amai, good evening and welcome along to Update on Manx Radio. It's 5 o'clock on Friday the 20th of June. Let's kick off the weekend with half an hour of the latest news from the Isle of Man. Coming up, gas tariffs are set to rise from the 1st of July. Campaigners want parents to delay giving their children smartphones. We have the latest from the first 20-mile-per-hour drop-in session and reaction as UK MPs vote in favour of assisted dying for England and Wales. All of that and more coming up, plus the latest weather and sport for you, as well as what to watch out for on the roads this evening. First of all, let's take a look at the latest headlines with Siobhan Fletcher. Fast Amai, Siobhan.
Fast Amai. The first of two drop-in sessions with the Infrastructure Minister to discuss proposed 20-mile-per-hour zones got underway this afternoon. Douglas Central MHK Anne Corlett was there and insists there needs to be a stronger focus on listening to residents' views.
This is about doing what communities want, you know, and listening to people and bringing them with you and trying to do what's best for the people in your communities.
The island's gas supplier says volatility in global gas prices is behind an upcoming tariff increase. From the 1st of July, regulated gas tariffs on the island will increase by 5.3%. All postal services from the island to Israel and Iran are suspended until further notice. Isle of Man Post Office says it received confirmation of the update from Royal Mail on Thursday evening. Entry numbers for the parish walk have slightly increased for the 2025 event, with close to 1,300 people expected to take on all or part of the 85-mile challenge this Saturday and Sunday. And singing star Paloma Faith will deliver the annual Arts Council lecture at the Gaiety Theatre on the 15th of September. Tickets go on sale next Wednesday. Further afield, MPs have voted in favour of legalising assisted dying of terminally ill adults in England and Wales. The bill will now move to the House of Lords. There was near silence in the chamber as the historic result was announced with a majority of 23. Frank Tate Sutton has stage 4 liver disease and is terminally ill. He backs the legislation.
I am emotional. It's a very difficult subject, but I'm happy it's gone through because I don't want to die without dignity, without it being my choice.
Downing Street's organising charter flights to evacuate British nationals from Israel as the fighting in the Middle East continues. And Liam and Noel Gallagher have been pictured together ahead of Oasis's highly anticipated tour, which kicks off in Cardiff next month. They headlines news at 6.
Gromayed, thank you, Siobhan. The weather now brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Medium-level cloud will clear away early this evening to allow a sunny end to the day. Light to moderate southeast winds and minimum temperatures no lower than 14 degrees. Areas of coastal mist and fog likely to affect southern and eastern parts tomorrow morning, with the best of the sunshine in the north and west. Then the risk of the odd sharp shower early afternoon before sunny spells develop more widely later on. Freshening south-southwest wind and a top temperature of 21 degrees. A few showers then Sunday morning, merging into longer spells of rain for the afternoon, before clearing to showers again in the evening. Fresh, locally strong southwest wind and cooler than of late, with a highest temperature of 18 degrees. Sunset tonight is at 5 minutes before 10, and sunrise tomorrow morning is at 4:45.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view delshawvehicles.im or call 495149.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Bigode Cassery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cassery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Bagode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bagode Cattery on Facebook.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The time now is 5 past 5. The MHK behind the island's assisted dying laws says Westminster has taken a major step forward. This, as we heard from Siobhan there, is as UK MPs have today voted in favour of assisted dying in England and Wales. The legislation, giving the right to die to terminally ill adults with fewer than 6 months left to live, was passed by 314 votes to 291, a majority of 23. There was silence in the chamber both before and after the result. Kim Leadbeater is the MP behind the bill.
The important thing is we've got the bill over the line, which means so much to so many people. And I pay tribute to the families and the terminal people that I've met in these recent months. This bill is about them.
Well, in March, the Isle of Man became the first place in the British Isles to approve assisted dying legislation, potentially allowing terminally ill residents access by 2027. Ramsey MHK Alex Owenson was the mover of the private members bill. Reacting to today's news from the UK, he told Manx Radio that it's a move towards greater autonomy, choice and dignity for those facing an imminent death due to a terminal illness. Through previous intense scrutiny and sometimes emotional debate, he says, MPs have reflected the views of their constituents. He adds that politicians in Scotland and Jersey are also moving in this direction, and by working together with the legislation already passed by the Isle of Man, we can develop a service which will respond to the needs of people in our island and across the British Isles. Well, critics in the UK fear the proposed legislation, still to go through the House of Lords, hasn't been properly scrutinised and worry there aren't enough safeguards in place. Mike Smith is from campaign group Not Dead Yet.
This particular bill had so many failings in the way that the safeguards were constructed and the significant scope for coercion that many people will end up ending their lives earlier than they should do or even wanted to.
Supporters, meanwhile, believe it allows for dignity in death. The time now 7 minutes past 5, you're listening to Update on Manx Radio. The first of two drop-in sessions to discuss proposed 20-mile-per-hour zones got underway this afternoon. The event at Dogger Sea Terminal saw the Infrastructure Minister on hand to speak with residents about the scheme. Many showed up to ask questions, with a majority continuing to express dissatisfaction. Various MHKs also attended, like Douglas Central's Anne Corlett, who insists there needs to be stronger focus on listening to the public's views.
I come from a different place than the other members in Tynwald on this, in that Douglas Central have had a massive amount of consultation, really good consultation, and the outcome of that was that 77% of respondents to the consultation agreed with a 20-mile-an-hour limit. Now, even with what's proposed in Douglas Central, I have a few issues with roads that perhaps should be 30 and not 20, and roads that are being put as 30 and should, in my opinion, be 20. So really, I'm here to listen to what people have got to say, because actually, you know, this is not about me. This started because I was getting lots of correspondence from constituents about speed and parking. But speed, so I went out and I knocked doors, and I knocked hundreds of doors to see what the opinion was on it. And that's what started me on this, is because that although I didn't get to speak to everybody in the constituency, those that I did get to, well over 90% wanted a speed reduction on their roads. So that's where I'm coming from. Ideally for me, every area should have the kind of consultation that we had, because this is about doing what communities want and listening to people and bringing them with you and trying to do what's best for the people in your communities. And that's how I feel about it. This should be community led.
That's Douglas Central MHK Anne Corlett, one of the many MHKs who attended the drop-in session at the Sea Terminal today discussing the proposed 20-mile-per-hour zones in Douglas and Onchan with Infrastructure Minister Michelle Hayward. Well, a second session will take place on Wednesday next week between 3:30 and 7 o'clock.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
And it's just gone 5:10. A group of campaigners on the Isle of Man urging parents to delay getting their children smartphones says the movement is gaining momentum. Over the past year, hundreds of people have joined a Facebook page called Delay Smartphones IOM, whilst over 150 others have signed an online pact agreeing not to allow their child to have such a device until the end of school year 9. They say it's not about being anti-technology, but rather protecting childhood, preserving mental health, and helping families build real-world connection in an age of distraction. Megan Kennish is behind the page and says parents who feel pressured into buying their child a smartphone shouldn't feel alone.
I first started the Facebook page because I felt really alone in my decision not to give my children smartphones. And to be honest, I'm not sure I had even made a decision at that stage. I just felt like I needed more information. I started reading and listening to things and realised that collective action, so doing this together, is definitely the only way forward, I think. And I just didn't want to feel alone. And I thought, if I feel like this, how many other parents must feel the same as me? It's like you said, it's grew to 600 people. So that's 600 interested parents or carers who are now even just thinking about delaying giving smartphones to their children, which I just think it's so encouraging. And it's 600 more than we had, I don't know, 18 months ago.
We're talking in June, but looking to September, there might be, of course, many parents on the Isle of Man who will be sending their child to secondary school, high school, for the first time, who might start feeling that pressure about, do I get them a smartphone, do I not, do I get them a brick phone, perhaps for a few years. What would your message be to someone who's feeling that pressure right now?
My message would be that I completely feel for you. What a hard decision to make. And my advice would be to connect with other like-minded parents. Just posting that video was one of the hardest things I've ever done because it's so exposing. But just have one difficult conversation. Just give it a go and you might find someone who thinks the same as you and you can stick together and it'll be 100 times easier.
That's Megan Kennish, who's behind the Delay Smartphones IOM Facebook group. Now, gas prices on the Isle of Man will be going up by 5.3% from the 1st of July. The increase has been announced by the Communications and Utilities Regulatory Authority following a review of the island's gas tariffs. Sian Cowper reports.
The regulator reviews gas tariffs twice a year, once in the winter and once in summer. Last month's interim review looked at the impact of commodity prices and consumer demand in relation to Isle of Man Energy's returns. It found the estimated commodity cost per unit is less than it previously assumed, estimated volumes have been reduced following a warm spring, and the assumed return for 2024 was overestimated. CURA says this needs to be reflected in the tariff for the remainder of the year, resulting in a 5.3% increase coming into force next month. The increase means the domestic heating tariff will rise from 9.76p to 10.29p per unit. In response to CURA's announcement, Isle of Man Energy says it understands the tariff increases may be difficult for some customers and that it remains committed to providing fair and equitable access to a gas supply to all islanders. It adds that after a 13.8% reduction to tariffs earlier this year, prices will be lower in July 2025 than they were at the same time last year. Managing Director Aidan Baglow said in a statement, "While the challenges of a volatile energy market persist, we remain committed to providing reliable and sustainable energy solutions for the Isle of Man. Thank you for your understanding." The next tariff review is scheduled for December.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
We'll start with that notice from police earlier after they were assisting colleagues in the fire service with an incident at Derby Haven. The latest update is that the road remains closed while the incident is dealt with. Access along Fort Island Road to Castletown Golf Course, Langness and properties on Fort Island Road. Access along the airport road is restricted to residents of properties prior to Ronaldsburn to gain access there. And access to Cafe Bar 26 is available via footpath from the area of Turkeyland Quarry only at this time. Well, elsewhere in Douglas, temporary lights on Alexander Drive at the junction with Woodlands Avenue for gas works. In the west of the island, a stretch of the Heritage Trail is closed between the Raggett and just west of St John's for urgent maintenance work. And the parish walk is on tomorrow, of course, with some road closures and various restrictions in place around the course. One of the main closures is the main road, that's the A1 between Union Mills and Crosby. That stretch will be closed to all traffic from 20 past 8 in the morning until 10:30. You can see all the roads affected at parishwalk.com. Well, over at the airport, a slight 15-minute delay on the Dublin flight, otherwise no issues, I'm glad to say. Tonight's arrivals and departures all looking clear and on schedule. Meanwhile, on the sailings, Manxman left Heysham at 2:30, due to arrive here in Douglas at 6:15, and Mananan left Douglas at 3:00, so should be arriving into Liverpool in 30 minutes' time.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
And the time now is 5:16. Net Zero Isle of Man has published its latest report on progress towards the government's climate change transformation targets. The document, which will be presented to Tynwald in July, sets out the ongoing targets and aspirations of the programme, with evidence of progress to date in a number of areas. Simon Richardson reports.
Among the headline targets is the desire to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 35% by 2030. However, progress to date has been slow, with emissions down just 3.8% since 2018 and 2.5% since the most recent greenhouse gas inventory in 2023. It's conceded that the 2.5% figure was not primarily due to deliberate climate actions and was more likely due to a milder winter and the price of gas. The report stresses the need to review the GHG, or greenhouse gas inventory, every 5 years to ensure accuracy and reflect changes in emissions over time due to various factors such as technological advances, climate variability, economic trends, and policy implementations. Since 2018, the most significant reductions were observed in the building sector, with a decrease of 26.6%, and in business emissions, which fell by 18.9% compared to the 2018 baseline. This decline is primarily attributed to reduced gas demand in both residential and commercial buildings. The next GHG is scheduled for 2026. Meanwhile, government says it remains committed to its decarbonisation goals and is making good progress in developing the evidence and plans needed to deliver them. It says reaching these targets requires careful planning to maintain energy security and ensure the right long-term decisions are made.
Simon Richardson there, Gurram Myed. Now, Peel commissioners met last night and discussed a number of issues affecting the town. This included a review into Peel Day, and a request for funding was received from the local youth club. Our local Democracy reporter Emma Draper was at the meeting.
The local authority agreed last night that the new TT schedule affected the event and it would be writing to the government to express its disappointment with the new programme. Deputy Chair Frank Crompton said he believed this year's Peel Day event was terrible. Clerk Derek Sewell told the board that the main complaint was that there was a reduction of visitors to the town. The event had attracted a number of negative comments on social media about the lack of attendance and scheduling of activities. Mr. Sewell added that this year was the first time they'd used a contingency day on the Monday since introducing the new schedule. Chair Ray Harmer said the board needs to think about what's best for the traders and claimed the new schedule isn't allowing visitors to see the island and go to other events. However, the timetable has already been set for 2026, and Commissioner Katrina Baptist said the board should ask the Municipal Association to write in against the new schedule for 2027. Also on the agenda was a request from the Youth Club for £7,500 to fund a 4-week summer programme for the young people in the town. The previous board gave the club the same amount of money for its scheme last year. However, Ms. Baptist said the funding would help children who can't afford to pay, which is about half of the attendees. The other half pay a fee to join the activities. She also confirmed that nearly all the children are from Peel, while some are from St John's and surrounding areas. It was agreed by the board to give them £5,000 for the summer programme, but will be requiring information about how the money is spent. Peel commissioners will next meet on Thursday the 17th of July.
That was local Democracy reporter Emma Draper.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
And it It's 5:20. We'll take a look at some sport now, as one of the major events on the Isle of Man's golf calendar gets underway this weekend. The qualifying stage of the 2025 Isle of Man Championships will be held at Mount Murray on Saturday and Sunday. Competitor Daryl Collister recently told us who he thinks might be in the running for honours.
Not long away from that kicking off qualifying. Yeah, Rob Noone will be favourite again. He's won the last three, and this year it's back at Mount Murray where it was last year, which is a strange thing. I'm not sure that's ever happened in Ireland Championship history, that it's back-to-back at the same venue, but for whatever reason that is, that's where we are. But yeah, great to be competing again and at Mount Murray this year.
It was two siblings who cleaned up last year. You mentioned Rob Noone there, but Emma Noone, of course, winning the women's championship as well. In terms of, as you mentioned, Rob Noone, just to start with, and the men's competition, like you say, three consecutive wins now in the Isle of Man Championship. What's it going to take for someone to maybe unseat him at the top, because he seems to be in great form over the last few years?
He does, yeah, and he's been doing well away off Ireland this year, so he's continuing his good form. Matt Murray is his home club, so again, he's going back to his home club to play again, but having a go at four in a row. I think the last time that was done, I'm going to say it was Julian Sutton, maybe won four in a row, went on to win eight in total. It can be quite hard to upset someone who's just, you can see he's not lost now since 4 years ago. It was the last time he lost a match play in the Isle of Man Champs, which is pretty spectacular, really. And yeah, that confidence you get from just winning every game, there's that expectation that he'll believe that he's just going to keep on winning.
And the Women's Championship, as we've mentioned, Emma Noone, the reigning champion going into that. Who else might be up there or thereabouts?
So there's probably Sarah Wignall, the Dawsons. I think Kaylee's playing in it. Shirley Price could have another good run in the championships. Karen Farragher. Yeah, there could be any number of them really compete. And in match play, I think they will qualify. Once you get into that, it's just a matter of winning the game in front of you. And yeah, it really could be an open one, that I would say, this year. But Emma will be, again, at the club she plays, She'll be feeling confident again.
That's Daryl Collister, a competitor in the 2025 Isle of Man Golf Championships, the qualifying stage getting underway tomorrow. And now the island will also play host to a 5-day international tennis tournament, which gets underway on Sunday. It'll see the Isle of Man joined by Jersey, the Faroe Islands and the Cayman Islands at Douglas Lawn Tennis Club from the 22nd to the 27th of June. Paul Jarvis is the secretary of the Isle of Man Lawn Tennis Association.
I think it's a big positive to the sports. You know, there's not that many opportunities for island-based players, and whether that's a Cayman Island-based player or a Faroe Islands or Isle of Man, Jersey-based players, to actually play people from other countries. And even for the Isle of Man players, having to go to the UK is, you know, to play different people. So the opportunity for them to get together as a group and play people they haven't played before, different styles, different nationalities, I'm sure it's going to be a challenge. And it's just nice for a community to actually come together of the players. So I'm sure we'll see some enjoyment on the course.
And off one of those words you mentioned there, community as well, because these things don't just happen with the click of the fingers. There's a lot of work that has to go into it behind the scenes. So how impressive has the work been, not just from the Isle of Man being hosts, but also the other teams coming here to bring this together?
Yeah, there's been a lot of work from that, obviously, from the travelling teams. You know, there's quite a cost commitment from them. You know, if they're flying up from the Cayman Islands, you know, and even flying from the Faroe Islands and Jersey, a little bit nearer, but certainly a lot of effort from those getting their teams together, getting organised, getting flights and hotels booked here in places to stay. From the host nation point of view, yes, we've got a lot of work to do in terms of just making sure we've got the infrastructure in place to actually run within a tennis centre. So we're using Douglas Lawn Tennis Centre, who are supporting, along with the Isle of Man LTA, the event, and making sure we've got a supplier of trophies and balls and organisation for something to happen outside of tennis in terms of a closing type ceremony or closing type event. So there's a lot of things that goes on around the periphery to actually make sure that it's an event that everybody can enjoy.
That's Paul Jarvis, the secretary of the Isle of Man Lawn Tennis Association there, speaking to Rob Pritchard, who joins us in the studio now. Golf or tennis? You ever played golf or tennis?
Tennis I did, yeah, for a few years when I was younger. Yeah, golf I've never quite got into. I tried a couple of times with a few friends of mine over here, actually, and I did enjoy it, but just never got into the rhythm of it, I guess. Hugely popular, though, here on the island, of course.
Oh, I've tried both, and I'm rubbish at both. Rob Pritchard, the rest of the sporting news. What have you got for us?
Indeed. Well, first off, in football, FC Isle of Man has confirmed two more fixtures as part of its pre-season preparations. The Ravens have announced they will face the Isle of Man men's national team on Friday, the 4th of July at 7 p.m. at the Bowl in Douglas, in what will now be their first pre-season contest. That'll be followed a week later on Friday, the 11th of July, also at 7 p.m. at the same venue, with a tie against North Wales-based side NFA FC.
All the announcements of that pair of matches completes FC Levant's pre-season schedule, which also includes a meeting with National League side Brackley Town at the Ballacloan Stadium in Ramsey on Saturday the 12th of July. After that is the 2025 Summer Festival of Football, in which FC Isle of Man will be joined by EFL League 2 side Fleetwood Town, National League outfit Altrincham and National League North competitors Radcliffe FC. Those games will take place at the Bowling Douglas from the 18th to the 20th of July, before the Manx side's league season in the NWCFL Premier Division is due to start on Saturday the 26th of July. Elsewhere in football, Manxman Adam Long has signed for Northern Irish side Coleraine FC. The former St George's player has put pen to paper on a multi-year deal following his release from AFC Fylde this summer. The 24-year-old, who also counts Wigan Athletic and Doncaster Rovers among his previous employers, has told Coleraine's club media he feels it's a great move for him. He's due to meet his new teammates in a few days' time when Coleraine's pre-season camp gets underway on Monday the 23rd of June. And finally, Special Olympics Isle of Man has confirmed it will not be able to compete in any more competitions at this year's Gibraltar National Games. Some members of the team were hit with food poisoning in the last day or so and, despite recovering well, are not able to take part in any more tournaments due to quarantine restrictions. Well, despite this, a short update on social media from Special Olympics Isle of Man says everyone is recovering well and the team is in much higher spirits than yesterday. The organisation is also thanking people for their well wishes.
Gromayed, thank you, Rob. Good to hear the Special Olympics team back on the mend there. Well, that's it for Update tonight. And if you like what you heard from Rob just now, stay tuned. He'll be back in the next few moments with Friday Sport Preview. And Chris Kinley is here at 6 o'clock with Greatest Hits. Remember, you can listen back to tonight's programme as a podcast. If there's anything you've missed, it will be available shortly over at manxradio.com. But in the meantime, have a great weekend. The sun is shining, so Update will be back at the same time on Monday.